Nope. No Carmichael Dave.
Sound guy lied.
Just Katie Christensen and Matt George this morning on The Drive. Carmichael Dave out. I feel bad for the guy. And all the people that are killing him on the text line for like, oh, yeah, Carmichael Dave's out. Oh, the sun is rising.
He's on a cruise ship again.
Yeah, he's violently ill, vomiting into his toilet. Like, I don't know. He ate some bad enchiladas or something on Saturday night. I don't know. Food poisoning for the first time.
He's going to come in like 15 pounds lighter.
Seriously. That sounds like a woman thing to say, like, ooh, yeah, I got food poisoning. I'm going to lose some weight. Woohoo!
Finally.
Oh, coming up at 8:47, we're going to have two tickets to Guns N' Roses to give away. They're going to be playing Golden One Center November 18th. You can find more information at KHDK.com. We're going to be giving tickets away, I believe, every day this week. So, yeah, for all you Guns N' Roses fans, we're bribing you to listen, basically, or at least listen at 8:47 when we give them away. I think that's like when you shouldn't tease certain things, right?
Right.
Don't tease when. You want them to listen the whole time. Maybe I'll give them away at 7:47. Who knows? Maybe I'll go crazy today.
Maybe right now.
It's my choice, right? I get to do it. Dave's not the boss of me. They're not the boss of me.
I mean, he never was. Is he? He likes to believe he is. I give up on that.
Coming up at 8:05, just an hour away, we're going to have Howard Beck, NBA writer for the Bleacher Report, join us to talk about everything going on in the NBA, mainly the whole debacle in Cleveland with what the heck is going on. I say it's basketball Armageddon. One of our commenters on my blog on our Facebook page said that I am basketball Armageddon with my takes. I don't think that's a take. That blog was just about what came out and what does that mean. It was more questions than anything else. Like that, because that's all there is right now.
Don't worry, he'll see you at a Kings game and want a picture.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Okay, before we get into what's going on with LeBron and whether or not he was the one to leak the trade request to the media, which apparently Kyrie Irving's camp is believing that. I want to get, so Matt, I'm doing this on air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is the computer up?
It's up.
Be careful because I haven't listened to this sound, but just the title of it, I can't help myself. Last week, the big news obviously was the O.J. Simpson parole hearing.
Oh boy.
And as we know, O.J. was granted parole. He'll be released from jail maybe October 1st, around that time. So
should do it on Halloween, just for the hell of it.
The big question with all of this is how OJ is going to maybe proceed as a paroled individual once he gets out. What is he going to do? Is anything that he makes other than his pension, his NFL pension, which is untouchable, mm-hmm. the Goldmans have access to it. So no one I'd rather hear from on advice on how OJ should approach freedom than Charles Barkley. Let's listen to this.
Unrelated question at the end.
That's Charles Barkley. TMZ Sports caught up with him, of course, outside an airport. And I hope that he just plays golf for a living, stays in Florida and plays golf, which is funny because he said he would not play with O.J. Simpson, which surprises me to a certain degree because we had Sean Salisbury on, and he said, yeah, man, I'd play with him just for the story.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the story of what's going to happen. But whatever, that's Charles Barkley on O.J. Simpson, and I kind of have to agree with him. I hope he just lays low and plays golf. But somebody that has been laying low, which is so out of the ordinary, has been LeBron James this offseason. And we talked about it earlier, Matt, in the sense that this is really the first time that we've seen – this is someone – who throughout the 2016-17 NBA season was using the media, social media, any outlet he could to really push Dan Gilbert and David Griffin, the GM at the time, to improve their roster so that they could compete and try and win their second NBA title and be able to take it from Golden State. We all know how that ended up, but then you go into the draft and you go into free agency, and LeBron James has been utterly silent.
Crickets.
There has been nothing going on. He's been the only thing we've seen him at a couple birthdays. We've seen him on a beach, I believe, in Mexico. And the one thing in the way he approaches these things, which I think is a very kind of passive aggressive to kind of push his agenda, the one thing that he has continually used on social media is the strive for greatness. Hashtag, which I'm not 100%. Yes, that's what he wants, obviously. But who is he talking to? And you have Kyrie Irving, who before the news came out about him requesting a trade from Dan Gilbert, which happened back on July 7th. And we just found out about this at the end of last week. So it remained under wraps until it was leaked by who, we don't know. But according to Stephen A. Smith, Kyrie's camp believes that it came from LeBron. I'm going to play the sound right here. See, and this is where this is where the conversation gets a little bit interesting to me, because LeBron James came out, Matt, and said that he under no circumstances will waive his no trade clause. And we've talked so much in the past couple weeks about, oh, like if you're Cleveland, do you trade him? So on and so on. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't trade him unless he agrees to waive that clause. Now, I find it hard to believe. Even though LeBron has not come out and said that he will re-sign with the Cavs after the conclusion of next season, it's a player option. I think he stands to make like $35 million the following season, which is 2018-19. Mm-hmm. He hasn't said that he's going to pick up his option, right? He can become a free agent, and he could even make more money than that, and doesn't mean he's going to leave Cleveland. However, I find it hard to believe that after everything he went through when he left Cleveland and went to Miami, and the heat that he took, pardon the pun, after making that decision, that he would do that to this organization again. So if he was really set on leaving Cleveland, don't you think he would be willing to waive that no trade clause?
Not necessarily. I think this is all still him setting the table for another departure and for him to do it in the most clean way possible. Whether or not he's going to admit it, him having his jerseys burned by all his hometown fans when he initially left and the way he did it, it hurt him. It stung. I mean, how could it not? I mean, that would just be a tough thing to deal with. So you'd look at, with him having a no trade clause, there's still an element of choice of him leaving. For example, if he gets traded to the Lakers or a team that he would want to go to.
It's about where he wants. But it doesn't matter even, because even if he waived it and went half of a season to some other team,
but he's still choosing to leave Cleveland right now.
So you're saying that he wants to be the author of his destiny, no matter what.
And he wants to look like, okay, once again, if he did indeed leak these rumors, Kyrie's leaving me, so that once again takes pressure off of me because Kyrie's doing it first, so I'm just following in his coattails, so that again, it's Kyrie's fault. It's also the owner's fault for pushing me out, and now I didn't waive my no-trade clause. Even when my back was against the wall and it was doom and gloom here in Cleveland, everything was falling apart, I stayed for one more year, and now I'm going, and you can't really blame me for that. I think this is him just continuing to set the table for another departure. And another reason why he's staying silent on social media, not commenting on trying to push his agenda, is maybe he's checked out. Once again, I don't care what this GM and this front office does. They're clearly killing themselves and making me look better for my impending departure.
So if he's set on leaving and he really doesn't care, Matt,
yeah,
why wouldn't he go in and say, trade me? Waive the no-trade clause.
Because once again, that makes him look bad.
But he's going to look bad no matter what if he leaves.
I don't think so.
If you're saying he doesn't care, how would he not look bad?
If he leaves again after Kyrie demands a trade and is traded away, when there's really no reason for him to stick around basketball-wise, and he's already gotten the team the ring, and he's...
You know, this is my problem here with this whole thing. You have a team that's been to three straight finals. You won one of them. You have freaking Kyrie Irving and LeBron James on the same team together. Most teams would kill for that. Kings fans would kill for that. But yet these two people cannot be happy. This is like the grass is always greener on the other side. Kyrie Irving doesn't want to play second fiddle. He wants to be a focal point, which I'm fine with that to a certain degree. But it's like, dude, should Scottie Pippen have been the focal point of that team? If he would have left and not wanted to play with Michael Jordan, what would have happened in his career? Can't these people understand that they are who they are because of the whole umbrella of the roster, not just because of one guy? You're Kyrie Irving. You're making a ton of money. You're winning titles. You're in it every year. A lot of the people that he's jealous of, the John Walls, the Damian Lillards, who are the focal points of their organization, where have they gotten? Nowhere. Oh, man, it just kills me. Coming up next, we're going to get into Three for Madness. We're going to talk about, is the trade request a betrayal of LeBron James? And how is this NBA offseason comparing to the massive beast, media beast that the NFL is year-round? And then we'll get into a little bit of the British Open as well. Jordan Spieth, is he becoming maybe better than Tiger Woods? That when we get back.
All right, Katie, is Kyrie's trade request a betrayal of LeBron James?
Absolutely not. I mean, we're talking about LeBron James here. If you want to talk about betrayal, I mean, he's kind of the king of that, right? Because everyone in Cleveland definitely, I think before the whole Kevin Durant thing went down, everyone had LeBron James as the one that was like the king betrayer, right? He left Cleveland, his hometown team. He went to Miami in search of winning. He did that. He came back. So I think a lot of the heat was taken off of him because he came back to Cleveland. But for Kyrie Irving, now, not that I am agreeing with the fact that he should want to be traded. I literally just went on a little mini rant at the end of the last segment about what the hell is wrong with these players mm-hmm. when they can't see that they have a good thing. Like, Cleveland is a phenomenal team. They just need a couple more pieces. Now, granted, I can't blame them for looking at the offseason and maybe losing a little bit of faith in their franchise.
Looking
because,
at their ownership.
Yeah, they don't even have anyone sitting in the general manager chair right now officially. Of course, that's imminent. But I kind of come from the player perspective. You should have control over where you are. Yes, he signed a 5-year extension, and Kyrie Irving is under contract in Cleveland through the 2019-2020 season. But asking for a trade and not being happy somewhere, that's not a betrayal. That's just how the NBA works. You have the ability to say, hey, I don't want to be here anymore.
But he signed that extension. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he signed that extension just weeks before 11 LeBron.
11 days before LeBron came back, which goes to the conversation of, like, he wants to be the focal point. Mm-hmm. He thought he was going to be. Now he's not.
Well, I don't think it's a betrayal by any means. Kyrie is not betraying LeBron. I'm buying more into this conspiracy theory in my head of LeBron, if he did indeed leak this information, or if his camp indeed did leak this information, that there's more behind it in terms of LeBron is trying to do everything in his power to make his impending breakup from the Cavs for the second time as smooth and as understandable as possible so that he's not destroyed, ridiculed, and ripped apart by the Cleveland fan base again.
Here's my problem. There's so much petty crap going on right now between those two because Kyrie Irving saying he wants to be the focal point, and then all the other things that have been reported about how he's upset because one of LeBron James's friends is employed by the team and travels with the team and none of his friends have had that opportunity. And he's jealous because Damian Lillard and John Wall are the focal pieces of their franchise. And here he is playing second fiddle to LeBron. Like, there's so much petty crap involved. His value is what it is because he's playing with LeBron James and he can't see that.
Has this NBA offseason proved that the NBA is taking over the most popular sport, dethroning the NFL?
You know, for so long, the NFL has been kind of like a year-round thing, right? It is, the coverage is year-round. There's always something to talk about. Now, sadly, what we've been talking about mostly this offseason is things like whether or not Ezekiel Elliott was in a bar fight or if it was domestic violence. And that seems to be, with me, why the NFL is such a year-round sport in the sense that, you know, just training camp has started for like, what, five teams at this point, mm-hmm. Matt? But really, there's not much to talk about. Kirk Cousins and his contract, like, it's kind of surfacey news, nothing really deep. But what has happened in the NBA starting before the draft at the end of June through all the way right? I cannot remember an offseason where there was so much stuff going on in the NBA. And with the TV money and all that, like, I kind of think that the NBA is about to dethrone the NFL.
And I think the NBA, it's because of individual star power. The NFL is the king still during the regular season. I mean, NFL destroys, even when the NBA begins and the NFL is going on, NFL destroys, and it always will be. But during the offseason, right? But during the offseason, with NBA free agency trounces NFL free agency because of the star power, and then moves like this, Kyrie Irving not being happy, the Knicks and Phil Jackson breaking apart. If there's one big name attached to it, it blows up and can spread from 1 week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks. That's why, because of the individual stars that the NBA has marketed their entire league around now, that's why, in terms of offseason, the NBA is going to always win.
I like it.
I do, too.
I ain't mad about it.
Something to talk about. All right, let's take a little break from the basketball conversation.
Yeah, we haven't talked at all about the British Open.
Is Jordan Spieth the most exciting thing for golf since Tiger Woods?
I think so. I think so, absolutely. Now, I don't think that he's more exciting than Tiger Woods, and there's a lot of reasons why. Like, even just his comments after winning the British Open, he's just much more of a, he's less cutthroat. Yeah. Tiger Woods is all about golf, all about just burying people. And Jordan Spieth, after he won, he walked by Matt Kuchar's wife and his two kids, mm-hmm. and his oldest son was crying. And Jordan Spieth hugged, Matt Kuchar's wife and congrats, but he's like, to see his son crying was very difficult for me. Like, there is a person there, mm-hmm. which I think for a lot of times Tiger Woods was really not a person. He was like a robot. He was like a golf robot. But to think that he's won the 2015 Masters, the U.S. Open, now the British Open, that is three major events in golf, and it's all before the age of 24.
And Tiger Woods made the game cool, right?
Yeah.
He was the one that revolutionized the game, making it golf suddenly was awesome for a younger generation. I think Spieth is doing the same thing in his own way. I love Spieth right now. I'm going to hate him in about 3 hours because after I watch any major tournament and see what Spieth does,
yeah.
it makes it look so easy that, oh, I'm going to go play golf after this game and think I can do the same thing Spieth does. I'll do horrible. I'll get pissed off and blame Spieth.
I love how he finished because things looked like they were falling apart. Yeah, it was crazy how that back nine went down. And there was the 13th hole, 29 minutes Spieth, it took for them to play that.
And Spieth is also very relatable too, right?
Yeah.
Everybody goes through the funks that Spieth goes through. Everybody handles pressure in their own way. So to see him battle through that, you want to root for him.
Well, and he's got a funkiness to his game,
yeah.
right? Like Tiger Woods, it was just beauty, everything. And there's like a funkiness that I think the average person
right.
can kind of relate to with his swing. And
Spieth will nail a tee shot and then hit one totally into the trees the very next
and we've
swing,
seen so. Absolute meltdowns from him too. Like, what was it, the Masters, where it was a complete meltdown.
Mm-hmm. Almost did the same thing again.
Exactly. And so I think that he is the most exciting thing, mainly because he's more relatable to the average person who goes out and tortures themselves through 18 holes and hits a couple great shots and the rest of it. Just you can relate to him more, I think, than you could Tiger Woods, who was just a golf god. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. And we're actually going to get into play some sound from the British Open coming up at 8:30. Howard Beck of Bleacher Report is going to join us at 8:05. But coming up next, we're going to dive a little bit more into the Kings and the rumors of Kyrie Irving requesting a trade and how that relates. We want to know whether or not you believe it. As a Kings fan, if it's something that you would be interested in, we're going to take calls. You can call us at 339-1140. You can text us at 441140. We've got Ken already holding on the line to get into what's going on in Cleveland. And, of course, we're going to always try and bring it back to the Kings, Matt, right here on Sports 1140. It's The Drive. Katie Christensen in. Carmichael Dave out sick today. We don't want him here. We said stay home.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Matt George behind the glass. Oh, guess what, folks? Coming up at 8:47, we have two tickets to give away to Guns N' Roses. They're going to be playing Golden One Center November 18th. We're going to hook you up with a couple tickets.
Are we eligible?
No, we're not.
You and me? We'll just steal them?
We're not eligible at all.
Darn.
Rumor has it that we're going to have more tickets to give away this week, too. More information at KHTK.com. Going to take your phone calls this segment, talk a little bit about the rumor, and I say that very strongly, rumor, that the Kings may have or may be interested in Kyrie Irving now that he's expressed his desire to leave Cleveland, requesting a trade from owner Dan Gilbert. He's got 2 years remaining on his contract. He signed a 5-year extension 11 days before LeBron James came back to Ohio, leaving South Beach. They've won, a title, gone to 3 straight NBA championships. And you can give us a call at 916-339-1140. You can text us 441140. Right now we're going to get to Ken, who has been holding for over 20 minutes. And you know what? He deserves to be on here. Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning. Thank you for taking the call. I'm calling because the Kings, they had a wonderful offseason. I mean, everybody, for the most part, gave them kudos. I mean, the draft was wonderful. They made some very solid free agent signings. The Kings did the equivalent of setting a nice dinner table and then bring the garbage in and set it by the table and said, put your garbage in this when you finish. Because to put De'Aaron Fox in any kind of trade rumor at this point, the Kings finally get a player that they wanted, that the fans wanted, okay? Mm-hmm. A guy who wants to come here, incidentally, that in and of itself is a win And what do? Before the kid plays his first game in Sacramento, you package him in a wonderful trade package, hopefully, to get Kyrie Irving, a guy who's not coming to Sacramento if every other team in the NBA stopped playing and Sacramento was the last one left. He may consider it at that point. Other than that, he's not coming to Sacramento. So why in the world would you take a chance on souring your relationship with a young man that's coming here full of hope, full of promise, full of an idea of wanting to change your franchise around? And, oh, yeah, we're going to try to put you in a package to get something better that we're not going to get. It's almost like you guys could not stand prosperity. You had to do something to muddle it up. And this is what you did.
Ken, I agree with you 100%, but I have this to say. I don't think there's any truth in that report. I think that is a fake news at its best. I would not believe it for one bit. There's going to be so many rumors that come out now. I just want to caution Kings fans specifically to be very careful about where you get your news. Don't get your panties in a wad because you see something reported. Look at who's reporting it. I don't want to say anything bad about Sam Amico, however you say his name. But the point is, I don't believe this for one second. I think this was clickbait, and this is exactly what he got. He got clicks on his website, got people talking about it, and now we're talking about it today. Thanks, Ken, for the call. But I think he brings up an important point, because you don't want to sour your relationship with someone that desperately wanted to come to Sacramento. Matt, this was such a change in the offseason that we saw in terms of the fact that for the past couple years, there's been nothing but bad news surrounding the Kings. No one wants to play here. Agents don't want to work with the front office. And it just seemed, and we heard the term basketball hell. Well, I actually think basketball hell might be in Cleveland, Ohio right now with everything that's going on. And if you disagree with me and think I'm making too much of this, that's fine. But I truly think that there is something more going on here than what we are able to really have kind of a grasp on. And it was someone, let me see if I can find this on the text line from the 916, I thought made a very, very good point. I wish Kyrie or anyone would just pop off and say he wants out because he's tired of LeBron James. Just get me out of here. That's from CJ on the text line. And I think that's what it is. LeBron James is the king of the NBA, period. You can talk about the Warriors and how they're on top. They absolutely are. But when you talk about a player that has the most power in this league, it is LeBron James, and he has used it very well. He manipulates the situation, and I don't think there's a single player that has the balls to come out and say, I don't like this guy. He's horrible to play with. He's a horrible teammate, and I don't want to be a part of it.
Because LeBron, with the amount of power he has and the amount of how big his reputation is, he can bury you.
Yeah.
He can hurt you, at least your reputation, but I want to go back really quick to what you said in regards to Kings, the Kings and Kyrie. Is one of the reasons why Kings fans, I believe, are so excited for this upcoming season. You mentioned in your 10 years that you've covered the team, you've never seen them this excited. Yeah. It's because there's a clear plan in place. Even right now, technically, this roster may not be as talented on paper right now as it was last year, a couple years ago with DeMarcus Cousins, Isaiah Thomas, Rajon Rondo.
And look where that got us.
Exactly. But right now, the Kings have a direction that everybody can understand and seems to be getting on board with now that Fox is here. So to make a move like a Kyrie Irving move or something like that just takes that direction, takes that excitement of we're going in a clear path straight forward and says, right turn, we're doing another weird thing again.
And do it the right way. They had the plan in place. They executed the offseason flawlessly, right? So stick with it. But with all of these rumors coming out, and Ken brought up a good point like about De'Aaron Fox, he's the future of this franchise. And that may be too much to put on a rookie that has 1 year of college experience. But my take on him is that he can handle it. His personality, he can handle that. But I truly hope with all of this, because he is young, he's a kid, and he's getting his first taste of what NBA rumors are. I truly hope that Vlade and that front office reach out to him and say, hey, just so you know, between us, there was absolutely no truth in this. And we would you're not part of this. You are a part of our future. We picked you because we believe in you, and this is the direction our organization is going in. I truly hope that happens because it's too much. It's too much at this point when you haven't even played your first NBA game to already have your name in trade talks, in rumors that are completely false.
Mm-hmm. If Kyrie's not happy or not content with a team that's made it to the finals three straight times playing alongside the best player in the NBA, what makes you think he would be happy even as the first number one guy hero in Sacramento?
It's so funny from the text line. I love the text line. I love them. From the 916, Kyrie seems to forget how terrible the Cavs were when he was the focal point. And that's kind of the conversation that this is. And I kind of went off on this earlier, Matt, in the sense that, you know, you look at Scottie Pippen, right? You look at him alongside Michael Jordan. And yes, Michael Jordan was always eating up all the air in the room, but they would not have been the team that they were. They would not have experienced the success that they had without Scottie Pippen. And the same goes with the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron eats up all the air in the room too. I mean, he is the guy, and there's no doubt about it. The media wants him. The fans want him. It is everything, right? Mm-hmm. But that team wouldn't be where they've been without Kyrie Irving.
But put Twitter in Michael Jordan's era.
Is he
going after Scottie Pippen when Scottie Pippen has a bad night? Is he going after Steve Kerr if Kerr doesn't perform? Is he going after the GM saying, I need help, going after Larry Bird or these Pistons?
And from everything that I gather, and again, I wasn't, you know, we didn't have Twitter then. We really relied on, you know, newspapers and so on and so forth and the internet in its infancy to kind of get that point across. But from everything I've gathered from guys that were in that era and paying attention, like I wasn't even watching sports at that point. Michael Jordan, there's a lot of similarities in his personality to LeBron James. It's just LeBron James is doing it on social media. I don't know that Michael Jordan wouldn't have been doing the same thing. We don't know what his conversations were with the Bulls in the front office and the ownership and Phil Jackson about what he expected of them. There's no telling at this point.
Yeah, and Jordan, or what LeBron has now is he has the ability to have just as big of a platform off the court as he does on. And he can say whatever he wants at whatever time, and that can either be private or public, and he seems to not be afraid to make it public if it means he's getting his point across.
The fact of the matter is that how this plays out, it's not even close to... Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Did you fall out of your chair?
Hurt my arm.
Ow. The fact of the matter is that we don't know how this is going to play out, and it doesn't really matter. But at this point, given, like, even say that LeBron James and Kyrie Irving remain on this roster for the entirety of the 2017-18 season, is there any question in your mind that they're not going to be able to return to the finals, given the drama and the chaos and everything that has happened and unfolded in the offseason? Or did the East do it? This is the sad thing about the whole situation. We can sit here and talk about, you know, and as I termed it, basketball Armageddon in Cleveland, but the East has done, they've gotten weaker. Has Boston put together enough of a roster? Does Gordon Hayward joining that team mean enough for that they're going to be able to, you know, dethrone them and beat them in the Eastern Conference Finals and go to the finals? I don't know that that's the case.
I think Boston and Milwaukee are their only hope. Maybe Toronto if Serge Ibaka plays
Washington
like an All-Star.
You don't think Washington at all?
That's true. Maybe the Wizards as well. They just did re-sign Wall. And Porter's not returning, is he? I've missed if he's going to Brooklyn or not.
I haven't even checked on that.
But
I haven't even, but we should.
The point is, that's the question I think the Cavs organization has to ask themselves is, are we content with maybe making this a one more year of we just are going to make the finals, but we really don't have much of a chance? Because if anything, the Warriors not only kept their core together, they still added a couple not superstar blockbuster names, but pieces that can help them. The Warriors didn't get weaker by any means. So you think by adding, I don't know, Derrick Rose or re-signing Kyle Korver for the whole season that you're going to be able to beat the Warriors unless they get hurt?
It looks like the Wizards gave Otto Porter a $106 million extension. Like, they signed him, so he remains. But
they're in the conversation.
They're
then
in
too.
The conversation too. But this is the thing: when I say basketball Armageddon, I'm not necessarily talking about next season. But what is this team that right now, without a doubt in my mind, even with all the drama, is the second best team in this league? What is going to happen to them the following year?
You look
at LeBron going to stay? Are they going to have to trade Kyrie? What are they going to get for him?
Right. And that's the crazy thing is you compare the Cavs to where the Kings are. The Cavs are there, but they have zero direction. The Kings aren't there, but they have a direction, and people seem more comfortable with a team that isn't there right now but has a clear direction versus the Cavaliers are standing there holding onto a rope, peering over a dark cavern that they don't know what's at the bottom.
From the 916, if Kyrie and LeBron stay this year, which they will be in the finals, end of story. And I'm not going to argue with that. I just don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if you're Cleveland, if you can keep Kyrie given the environment, and if you think that LeBron James is brutal on social media, wait until he plays a season with Kyrie Irving knowing that he wants out. You can't have your top two players battling back and forth, not liking each other.
And at that point anyway, Cleveland's only hope at a championship, which I have to believe is still the ultimate goal, is if the Warriors get hurt or a team like the Rockets or the Spurs somehow catch Golden State. That's literally their only chance. You put a healthy Warriors team against the Cavs again, the Cavs have no shot.
Yeah.
They're lucky to get a game.
From the 916, and this is where I love guys chiming in, gals maybe even, on the text line. Jordan blackballed Isaiah Thomas from the Dream Team, said he wouldn't play on the team if Isaiah was there. So, again, that goes to the conversation. It's just the different media environment that we're seeing these two players in right now. And I don't know if that's true, but I would be willing to bet that it is. But I also like this. And let's get this. We're going to kind of veer back to De'Aaron Fox and the Kings here for a moment, because this text kind of really rings true with me. From the 916, Fox wanted to be a franchise leader. Kyrie just wants his own team. And I kind of have to agree with that. Mm-hmm. Now, Kyrie has made a buttload of money already. He's had a ton of success. He's been an all-star. He's got a championship. And it all comes down to the timing of him signing that five-year extension with the Cavs is really interesting, because it was 11 days before LeBron James came back to Cleveland. So at that point, Kyrie is saying, hey, this team is struggling, but I want to be the guy. I want to be the focal point. I want to be the guy that tries to, take us out of it and get us back to the finals, get us back into the playoffs. And then LeBron comes back. And I'm sure privately, to a certain degree, there was both excitement and maybe a little bit of, damn it, this was supposed to be mine. But De'Aaron Fox, to me, is a completely different beast. Yep. And I'm trying not to look at this through like King's goggles, because we're so focused and King-centric here, which, I work for the team. We cover them here on the station. And the one thing that I have really, really appreciated about De'Aaron Fox since before he was even officially a King is that it seemed to me he had a desire to be here. Mm-hmm. And he had a full understanding of what he was walking into. And for a young guy to want to take that on and to be someone that could turn around a franchise and not even just make it all about himself, but realize that he wants to be a leader. It's difficult for 19-year-olds to understand the scope of what it means to be a leader for an NBA team. But from everything I've heard and everything I've seen, I can't help but think that this is the guy. And maybe, Matt, I hope you have the sound ready, but maybe part of the reason why I'm so in love with De'Aaron Fox after literally before he even stepped foot on the floor at Summer League, and what I saw there I absolutely loved, but because the personality that he has is very intriguing to me. And it all comes down to, as a Kings fan, the Lakers-Kings rivalry is above and beyond any other rivalry that you might have battle with the Warriors, but that's completely different. The Kings-Lakers rivalry goes way back, and how the whole thing played out between De'Aaron Fox saying that he believes, before he is even drafted, that he's going to be the best point guard in this draft. Obviously, that was a shot at Lonzo Ball, and you have LaVar Ball that has said so many things. And then when these two teams faced off in Summer League, all of a sudden, Lonzo Ball wasn't playing. And then it was like, is he dodging De'Aaron Fox? Because the game before that, when the Lakers played, Matt, he had a horrible game. And there was like tweets, aplenty that were, the reason why Lonzo Ball had such a horrible game is because De'Aaron Fox was in the building. Like, this is a rivalry that's heating up to me, and I love to see it between two players, mm-hmm. same position, same draft. I love it. But apparently we have some sound on from none other than LaVar Ball commenting on his son dodging De'Aaron Fox. Shots fired, Matt. Shots fired. This is why I love it. And you, please enlighten me on this, how this whole thing played out. This was sound from a little while ago.
Right.
But did De'Aaron's dad get involved in this whole debacle?
So De'Aaron's dad has been going back and forth with Lonzo and LeVar. De'Aaron's dad is just Aaron.
Yeah.
And Aaron Fox was basically pointing to that one game where Fox and Ball met, UCLA versus Kentucky, and Fox completely schooled Lonzo. And really,
let me just get this clear for everyone. And this is not me, truly, this is not me being King's goggles, like, you know, waving the purple flag right now. But in college basketball, nothing matters except for how you perform in big games. It doesn't matter what your season is. It doesn't matter what you scored, what your averages were, any of that. What matters is once you get to the NCAA tournament in March Madness is how you perform.
And De'Aaron Fox stepped up.
De'Aaron Fox just shattered Lonzo Ball.
Right.
Now, I think Lonzo Ball is a terrific player. Like, I really do. Like, watching him and seeing him in summer league, there are some things about him where there are question marks, where there's always question marks with young guys coming out. His shot is a little bit wonky. He doesn't have the greatest lateral foot speed. But the way that he plays, the way that he sees the floor, like, he's going to be something special.
You mean to tell me a 25-year-old Lonzo Ball and a 25-year-old De'Aaron Fox, after re-signing contracts with the Lakers and the Kings, with both teams being relevant, isn't going to be good for the NBA and the rivalry?
Oh, my God. So good. And I hate to say it, but if we all know LeVar Ball is going to talk whenever there's a microphone in front of his face, whenever. But there's a little bit of joy for me, too, that Aaron Fox, De'Aaron's father,
keep it going,
is also getting involved. Like, I kind of like this because, you know, as much as LeVar Ball aggravates me, I want someone to step up and take him on. And if his son is willing to step up and take on Lonzo Ball, then come on, Daddy. Mm-hmm. Come on, Daddy Fox. Let's see it. Like, this is something that I personally want to see.
And this is where I like LeVar Ball running his mouth. Is sure, talk about Fox. Pump up this rivalry. Do your talking before they step onto the floor. And then let's see. I mean, the Kings and the Lakers are set to meet one time in preseason. That will probably technically be the first time we see Fox versus Ball. But the first regular season matchup between these two, at least at the very beginning from tip-off, is going to be the two of them going right at each other. And a lot of that's going to be because of the dads going at each other. And I think it's good for the game.
And I love the text line, keeping me honest. From the 206, Lonzo had a triple-double before the Kings game. He did. It was 11-11-11. It was the game before that was so bad. And that was the game where he shot the ball horribly, and the Kings were the next game. And so De'Aaron Fox was on the sidelines, and that's where the joke came from. And
but did he do it in Nike? Or he did it in Nikes, though, so does it really count?
I don't even know what shoes. I don't even want to get into what's going on with that. I mean, good Lord. Like, that
ballers
goes in,
can wear what they want.
I don't even care when it comes down to that. But the thing for me when it comes, again, we've talked about this, the direction the Kings are going in is like one of the best I've seen in quite some time. And I'm trying to think of this. And you even look at the national conversation, which for the longest time, the national conversation about the Kings has not been positive. We had guys, reporters on a national level reaching out to us after the draft, after free agency, that wanted to come on the show and give credit to Vlade in that front office, which is something we are totally not used to.
Well, De'Aaron Fox completely fits the mold, and a guy like Kyrie Irving completely changes it. And that's the difference.
Oh, absolutely. And so again, I say this for the final time, this show. I am cautioning Kings fans, do not put any validity in any of the reports that the Kings were reaching out, trying to make a deal with the Cavs for Kyrie Irving, trading away De'Aaron Fox and Kostakouvas. It's just not happening. And I don't have an inside source that's telling me that. I'm just saying, hot take canning it right
now.
Your
source is logic.
My source is logic. Thank you. Speaking of logic, Howard Beck is going to be joining us when we come back at 8:05. Writer for the Bleacher Report. We're going to have him on and get into what's going on in this whole Cleveland situation. And what would they possibly do? What are Cleveland's options now that all of this news has come out? What are they going to do? Are their hands tied? Or can they potentially look at going into a 2017-18 season with both LeBron and Kyrie on their roster? We'll do that when we get back.